Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening. From wherever you're listening across the world, welcome to another episode of Just Ball Things. With me today, as always, from my very own, I'm going to say it, Jack.
Do it!
Boudoir.
Ah, you bum. Why are you holding your mic? You never hold your mic.
I know, I'm looking at the levels and I think it's going to be good.
Okay,
if I hold my mic.
I respect it, I'll be listening back and if it's better audio.
If it's
audio
not,
quality,
we'll just have to re-record it and this will be take one.
Oh, God. I have to spend another hour with you. That'll be fun.
Yeah, totes. Talking ball.
Always.
So with me, as always, we have the J-Man, Jack Manuel.
That's me.
How are you?
I'm swell in the swellest of forms.
Swell? That's good. That's good.
Yep.
Exciting times in the NBA?
Always, mate. There's plenty of stuff happening. Kyrie Irving, he's a Brooklyn Net. Kevin Durant's the number seven. I'm loving it.
And 3+5?
3+5. Stay woke, third eye people. He posted it. That post on the 35 Ventures, you know, Twitter page, he posted it on the 7th hour of the 7th day of the 7th month.
Ooh.
Stay woke.
Stay woke.
It's the new stay woke, because KD is now no longer the Golden State Warriors. We need to stay woke with him and Kyrie, because the wokeness levels are going to be extreme, Nick. You woke?
I am unfortunately woke.
Stay woke.
Stay that way. To this whole thing.
Good.
Kyrie Irving is quickly rubbing off on Kevin Durant, which is never a good thing.
It's a wonderful thing. I hated Kyrie Irving's stupid wokeness. As long as he doesn't say, like, hurtful stuff in terms of, like, the flat earth stuff that hurts me as an educator. If he just does this super faux weird shit, I'm all about it. I'm going to eat that shit up. God. Stay woke.
He's helping the conspiracy theorists in America, which is never a good thing.
It never is. We did a whole thing on conspiracy theories on this pod before.
I mean, I don't believe
it. You requested
jet
it.
Jet fuel doesn't melt steel beams, Jack.
Shut
it doesn't.
Up! Shut up! What's your name?
My name is Nick Busing.
And
mate,
jet fuel doesn't melt steel beams?
Jet fuel does not melt steel beams. That is my random fact for the week. Let's get right into this. You can follow us on Twitter, at the JManJBT.
Me.
Is the J-Man.
That's me.
Obviously.
Yes, it is.
He works for JBT.
Yes.
I mean, works for. That's a bit of a loose
statement. Well, like, we're the owners of it.
That's right.
You're not even wearing your shirt. It's on the bed.
I am wearing my shirt.
Oh, the Busing Man. It's a nice one, yeah?
It's a nice one.
I wore it to bed last night.
There's no...
I'm wearing the buzz because I was recording a buzz.
There's no affiliation to our podcast whatsoever on this shirt. If you just look at it up the street, you'd be like, what the hell is that shirt?
That's kind of makes it cool. It's just like, whoa, what's a Twitter?
I don't wear it for them, Jack. I wear it for me.
Good.
That's it.
Did you? You probably heard people might have heard that whack. I hope they did.
That hurt. Or JBT Nick is myself. We are also closely affiliated with OTG Basketball, at OTG Basketball on Twitter. They've got an awesome news website and podcast network. Where you can keep to date all things NBA, especially during the off-season. They've also got some off-season fun for you while the basketball has slowed down.
Yes, sir.
In the next few... After Summer League, it will slow start.
Did you lose a follower?
I might have. I had someone else follow me this week.
Oh, okay.
So if
you're at 61.
I lost two followers.
Oh, you're at 63.
So I lost two followers and gained one.
Well,
I was at 62...
It's one step forward, two steps back, one step forward. What is it? One step forward, two steps back?
Yeah, but this is the opposite for me. It's two steps back and one step forward. I am not making progress.
Two minus one equals seven.
At JBT Nick, please. I don't post. I'm a quality follower. I'm not going to interrupt you.
He just retweets my stuff.
With some pesky follows. No, I come up. There's a good maybe once every 2 months during the NBA season.
Yeah.
During the NBA season, I come with something quality.
Yeah, and then you'll like me a couple of times.
You don't even like
when I post about our own podcast weekly. You'll be like, Nick's liked our podcast episode like 3 weeks after like our 30th episode of the season.
Because I'm not on Twitter too. Yes. Especially now, the off-season. During the season, I was a lot more regular.
Yeah.
Facebook.com, we're always posting there.
We are.
/JustBallThings. JBT Podcast as well, at gmail.com.
Yes, sir.
You can hit us up there for an email sesh.
We'll do.
Email thread.
Sounds fun.
All the nice words.
Talk about the shirt, Nick.
Oh, yes. Design Tree. DSGN. linktree.com/off.
I was also saying because your shirt represents that thing on the dock.
Yes, well, you can go to Design Tree and buy some merch. Fabulous OTG and JBT merch.
Wonderful.
Specifically for wonderful. Those in the States.
I don't know what I was confusing myself by saying wonderful when I was trying to say. No, I was trying to say swell and wonderful. Ooh. And I would get wonderful. Wonderful?
Or like just it. Well. Just a word.
Oi!
Swell and wonderful.
How do you say, what's this?
Wonderful.
What's this scale? What's on your shirt?
Again, dsgntree.com. You can get a Busek Manuel scale t-shirt.
What does it represent?
It represents a scale that sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA.
I like it. There's some banter here. Okay, I respect like it.
We scale it from alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, or straight up fact.
Yeah.
Mates, first one here. We've got to start with Kawhi.
Lenoge.
Paul George.
Lenoge.
Doesn't work, Jack. We've discussed this.
We're calling the... okay. I want to... please call it.
It would be Call Lenoge.
Yes, that's what we're calling it.
Fusing the name.
The episode is called...
It doesn't work.
Please call it Call Lenoge.
You can call it whatever you want. You upload it.
True, I should chat. Whatever, like... But I normally go with yours. Like, I like LeBronthony Javis.
LeBronthony Javis. But that actually has Call Lenoge. Doesn't sound like Kawhi Leonard or Paul George.
I'm wondering if there's a person named Call in this word. Oh, world. God.
With a K. Yeah. Call with a K. Anyway, Kawhi and Paul George are joining forces.
Yes, they are.
And that makes the Clippers the favourites for the 2020 championship.
Look, it's hard to go right now, Nick. Like,
I'd say fact.
I'd say fact as well. I'm going to go slightly weaker because I think that the championship race is as open as ever. As it's probably been since I've been an NBA fan. You could make an argument for 8 to 10 teams could win the championship. Out East, there's probably two contenders. You know, the Sixers and the Bucks would count themselves, you know, in that race. You go to the West, that's where things get really tricky. You know, the Utah Jazz made some amazing moves, and we'll get to them. Mm-hmm. The Denver Nuggets with their internal growth and their young squad and, you know, bringing it back to continuity. I value continuity. I've said this on plenty of podcasts before. The Clippers are obvious. They've got depth and superstar talent. I think they're the number one contender. But I think that there's enough teams there that make me a little bit worrisome. Not worrisome, just like tentative in my take, because I think that, you know, how healthy is Kawhi Leonard? How many games is he going to play this season? And how does that affect their standings? Are they going to be the number one seed, then 2, 3, or 4? They need to finish obviously top four to get that home court advantage. I'm sure the Lakers-Clippers rivalry is going to be as hot as it's ever been. Mm. And I think that, you know, there's going to be, you know, a point to prove for LeBronthony Javis. I think that their battles are going to be insane.
LeBronthony Javis Cousins.
Yeah. Oh, actually, yeah, because the Cousins went there.
They've reformed.
Cousins
they've
McGee. LeBronthony, Javis, Cousins, McGee, Rondo.
I don't know whether we'll get to the Lakers
We will literally next.
Okay.
Maybe not next.
Oh, third. Yes, okay. All right. We will. But, we will. So we'll keep that then.
Yes, but you count the Lakers in there as well. Jazz, the Rockets. But, like, the Rockets haven't changed much. If they can get that internal chemistry back.
They haven't changed much, but
I mean,
teams around them have gotten so much better.
Yeah, and I've rattled off I don't know how many teams off the top of my head, and there's probably some that I'm even missing. I'm not even looking at all the teams in the NBA right now, but it's essentially everyone but the Washington Wizards can win the championship this season. Maybe Phoenix. Probably
Charlotte. I mean, come on.
I know, I'm just making you feel bad about your team, but...
Yeah, I mean, we've made some interesting moves. Anyway.
Are they your by far and above favourites?
It's hard to deny them right now. So there might be a vacuum cleaner going on. I love it.
They're sucking up all our takes.
There might be. I don't know. Like they're not out. They're not outright because I still have faith in LeBron. Because when he makes the playoffs, that's a different story.
Yeah, that's what I've always said.
Needs to make.
And
the
Davis,
playoffs.
When he's made the postseason, has been sensational.
That's
too.
Right. But the Clippers have superstar. They have superstar talent in two positions and depth.
Yep.
The fact that they were able to keep Lou Will, Harrell, and Shamit.
And Beverly.
Beverly.
Yeah.
Is incredible.
It's insane.
they completely mortgaged their future for the next 7 years.
But if they get, like, it's like what we said with the Lakers. If they get a championship out of it,
that's right.
Who
it
cares?
Matter. That's right.
And I think that they're in the prime position to do so. And, you know, I think that. we're not speaking about, you know, the deal itself, because it's been a couple of days now. It was shocking, to say the least. You know, I was playing footy, and then I got in, and some of the guys are checking out their phone and the notifications, and then they're like, oh, Kawhi to the Clippers. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess I called it, remember? I called the Clippers all season.
You did.
So I was right.
You did.
My takes have been pretty good this season.
You did. I really thought he would stay. Anyway,
yeah. And then they were just like, Paul George went with him as well. I'm like, holy shit.
I got the notification at 4:10.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
4:20.
That's essentially when we finished footy as well.
And I remember looking down my phone, I was like, I could not believe
what
I was. I was at my computer.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
at my computer.
And you just saw the phone.
I got the. I felt my phone buzz.
Yeah.
I've been waking up every day,
just expecting
waiting,
it. Yeah, yeah.
Waiting for Kawhi news. You know, I'll be at work, and whenever I hear the buzz go off, I'm checking.
Is it Kawhi?
And
so it's like, no, it's Quinn Cook signing for 2 years, yeah. $6 million.
So I'm glad it happened on the weekend. The trade itself, I don't know if you've got the details of the
trade. It'll be on the ESPN story, but they essentially, you know, gave up obviously Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari, and a plethora of I know you like that word, Nick.
A myriad.
Yes, we're literally repeating the synonyms we used on last week's episode, 2 weeks ago's episode. But yeah, they've essentially given up, you know, the package for Anthony Davis. Everyone's just like, well, the package for Anthony Davis was huge. Well, why aren't we going about this? It's just like, you're not getting Kawhi Leonard unless you get Paul George.
That's
and
right.
I think that there
it's
were
two super. It's two superstars.
It's
for
a
that
two
package.
Superstar package, yeah. And I think that there were these obviously around Kawhi Leonard. The rumors were very small. They were only like breadcrumbs. And like, you know, there was the one where he's just like he wanted to get Kevin Durant on his team, and Kevin Durant had already made his decision to go to Brooklyn, which is the best decision you could make in this world, obviously. But the number one thing that I remember seeing that sort of sticks out is that he's like, he wanted to team up with another superstar. That was dropped by Woj. Mm-hmm. Woj was speaking about the Clippers quite frequently. And it seemed to be that, like, you know, all these Lakers insiders, these Reddit people, and then the Raptors fanatics, and obviously him flying on the jet and stuff. This shocked everyone. You know, there was talks about Bradley Beal. There was talks about Jrue Holiday and rumors. And they land Paul George. And, I mean, there has to be an air of skepticism, like I was sort of saying earlier, because how healthy are Paul George's shoulders? He's posted on his Twitter that he's, you know, two healthy shoulders are in. I think that's what he posted after
right
the
now.
Following. Yeah, that's what it... Nick...
Don't say RN.
That's
just
what
say,
he posted!
Yeah, just say right now.
I'm being...
Just say right now, Jack.
Shut up. But he was incredibly happy. He was in Vegas. Obviously, there was some Instagram videos, as was Patrick Beverley and Lou Williams. But if he's healthy, then they've got the best defensive and offensive team in the league.
100%. But
health,
I mean, this is why it's a fact for me.
It's health.
Like, it is health.
Who has more health concerns out of them and the Lakers? Like, LeBron James had his first biggest injury, that groin injury, and he's going into his age 35 season. Anthony Davis, I think his injury worries get played up a little bit too much, but he's generally played 70-ish games for the past 5 seasons.
Cousins.
DeMarcus, but like, we're talking about the stars here. Kawhi Leonard obviously is going to have his load management, but we've seen, like, even in videos in the offseason, he's like waddling. I don't know.
This is the thing, though. They can do this. The Clippers can do this because they can win games with, you know,
Jamichael Green. Oh, he hasn't reached. Mo Harkless.
Jermichael Green, Wilson Chandler. They can.
Chandler's on the Nets now, baby. Come on. Come on, mate.
Oh, has that not updated?
It told you the depth charts on ESPN don't update. You need to go to Twitter.
Okay.
This is why you need to get on Twitter more.
Do they still have Magruder?
They do have Magruder. They re-signed him.
This is what I mean. Like, they can still win. They can still win.
Yeah.
Without these players. Kawhi and Paul George could both play 60-game seasons.
And they'll still
be top four.
Yeah. I think it's quite... I mean, despite the fact that, you know, the West is obviously as stacked as ever, but it's going to be a fascinating season. And I mean, Montrezl Harrell. Yeah.
He was good.
He was, I mean, 6 minute year contender.
Exactly.
The era of super teams is essentially over. Kawhi is, you know, the Kawhi and Thanos memes have been aplenty. You know, he's restored order to the NBA. It's now superstar duos.
It's not only the game by game sort of like they sit down, of certain games.
Yeah.
they'll also sit a lot of minutes given the quality that they that can come off the bench.
I mean, yeah, we spoke about like Giannis in comparison to James Harden. Giannis was playing like 32 minutes a game for the Bucks because they were just able to rest him throughout games.
Right.
And he still won the MVP.
That's right. There will be games where Kawhi or Paul George might have sub 30 minutes.
Do the Lakers have that? That's the thing. Do the Lakers have that luxury?
No, they do not have that luxury. Yeah. Anthony Davis has got to be run into the ground. I can
see. And LeBron James as well.
LeBron James has been averaging the most minutes in the league feels like forever.
Yeah.
Like, he might take games off, but when he's in, he plays a lot.
Yeah.
And that's where I think the difference is. That 8 minutes a game here and there can be massive.
Oh,
can
absolutely.
Be massive. When you're exhausted at the end of games, you're more injury prone, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
One more thing about this Kawhi Leonard trade.
Give it to me.
That I want to give to you.
Do it to me.
People are saying that his number one focus has always been winning.
Yes.
Sure.
Okay.
This trade to me does not scream winning move.
What does it scream?
This trade to me screams legacy.
Okay. How so?
Because if he wanted to win, what sort of a one-sided NBA team would a Kawhi, LeBron, and Anthony Davis? Because Clippers don't get Paul George.
Yep.
Paul George stays at the
OKC,
Thunder
and
are still not good enough.
Yeah, they're goodish.
What contender is there out west?
Yeah.
People have been saying that it would be an absolute travesty to the NBA because it would be so one-sided if Kawhi went to the Lakers.
Yep.
If winning was the only thing he cared about, then that would be the obvious choice for me.
Yeah.
He cares. I think this is factoring in his mind. It's his team.
Yep.
It's a good organization. No,
yep.
I have no doubt. But he's also given an opportunity to lead a team to take down
the King James.
And the Lakers. Yeah. Like, he gave
the first championship
to Toronto.
Yeah.
That
first ever person to leave an organization after winning a championship.
Like, that's his legacy right now. And now he turns the Lakers into a Clippers city.
Yeah. Imagine.
That LA into a Clippers city instead of a Lakers city.
Yeah, yeah.
This is legacy. And I ingest a little bit of basketball knowledge.
Yes, you do.
In the pods.
Yes, you do.
No one is speaking about this being a legacy.
I've heard one person speak about it, Bill Simmons. I don't think you listen to the Bill Simmons pod.
They go for 2 hours.
They do. That's why
it's
I like
a long time.
I like the long ones. But I think that you make an incredibly valid take with that, Nick. I think this is about legacy. I think he wants to. You know, he doesn't need to.
I mean, winning now that he's at the Lakers, the Clippers, winning is everything.
Yeah.
But he went to the Clippers because obviously it's still a good chance to win.
And
I think
LA.
We both think it's the best chance to win.
Yeah.
He is home. And, oh man, it would mean so much more to win for the Clippers than it would be for the Lakers.
I've got to get, before we get to Russell Westbrook, Maggers made me, like, I had to give his take. So he sent me in a Facebook message. What I like about this, Kawhi and PG looks great on paper, both are great offensive and more importantly, great defensive players. They'll fit in with the rest of the team and the identity that they've built this past season.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is scoring against them on that squad. Lakers miss out after all the reports completely counted them out. They have two ridiculously good players, but their coach, management, and ownership have shown they don't know what they're doing. Kawhi made the logical decision and they just gave Danny Green $50 million a year. We'll get to the Lakers. Westbrook loses another star teammate. Great player, but his game won't ever win a championship and OKC should move on. Clippers front office gets a big reward for all the great work post the Blake trade.
Jerry West, baby.
Yep, Jerry West indeed.
He's done well.
And Lawrence Frankie. What I don't like, the trade for BG is a lot to give up. He's disappointed to lose SGA. Great young player, obviously.
Yeah, but you kept Shamit.
Yeah, true. I mean, the fact that they were able to see, and they lose so many unprotected first rounders. But this team should be solid for the next few seasons, and those picks should only be in the 20s. It could backfire in like a similar sort of Boston Celtics way, but they had to make the trade because they would have missed out on Kawhi.
That's right. To land Kawhi, you had to throw the kitchen sink.
Yep.
And more.
Yep.
You threw the whole kitchen.
Double. Yeah. You threw the stove at him. You threw
the fridge.
That would hurt.
It would.
What would you prefer to be thrown at you? A kitchen sink, the stove, or the fridge?
Well, assuming the stove is not connected to the gas, I'd probably have to.
Well, how is it going to be connected to the gas if it's being thrown at you? How long is this extension?
Well, a gas can lead.
Can it?
I just. Yeah, there's a pipe that goes into the gas. You can throw it with the pipe.
Okay, fair enough. It'll be. I mean, we spoke about. So
this is a classic.
Give me your answer, mate.
A stove.
Sink. And also Magus says that it's just great for basketball. But what
is great for basketball?
What isn't great for Russell Westbrook is this trade, Nicholas. And Nick, a Russell Westbrook trade is an inevitability. Got me a poll. Did you vote on my poll?
Yes.
Like, I had like over 300 people voting on it. Like 380 people voting
on
it.
I'm sorry.
And you didn't even vote on it. So if Russell Westbrook was traded, as seems likely, where will he land? He's obviously talked to the Sam Presti in the organization already. So it seems
Before we get onto this, there's a fact for you.
It is, yep.
There's a fact for me.
Fact for you, yep.
I think he's requested it.
Yeah, I don't think he's made it like full. I don't think he made like an outlandish request, but I think he's made it known that, you know, he wants to explore his options and where they will be. Well, my poll indicates that Miami seems a very strong likelihood. 59% of people voted for the Miami Heat. Before the Lakers spent all their cap space, 17% of people voted for them, and 24% of people voted for other. And in the other, we had a plenty of teams. The Detroit Pistons, who I think are a strong likelihood. We had the Orlando Magic. We had the New York Knicks. We had Minnesota.
The Knicks could use
Imagine they spend all their cap space on... Oh, man, that'd be hilarious.
It would be a hilariously Knicks move. I think he would thrive at the Knicks.
Yeah, but like
the limelight.
It would be
a bad move.
It would be a horrible move.
Yeah.
Orlando. So there's a lot of people voting for Orlando and stuff. And thank you to everyone who did jump into the chat and the comments there. But Nick, where do you think he'll land? If you could have voted or commented, the Heat, the Lakers, or other? Don't discount the Lakers because their cap space is done, and they can't make a trade. Until December, at least.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Lakers, I don't know why that was in your...
Because they still had cap space at the time, and I don't know, I think there was rumors, and, you know, he's got the...
Why get Russell Westbrook when you can get Boogie on a vet minimum?
Yeah, and you can throw $8
million. And throw a lot of money at Danny Green. Yeah. I don't think it's that much. Anyway.
Give me a team.
Miami is...
Him and Jimmy. Russ and Jim.
Yeah.
RJ.
That'd be nice.
Russell Butler.
Again, I think you'd like the sun and the surf of Miami.
Who wouldn't?
It's a beautiful, beautiful place.
No state taxes, apparently. Or less state taxes than in...
Really?
Yeah, I think, like, everyone always speaks about in free agency about, like, state taxes. Oh, what the heck is going on there? all the state taxes and, like, you know, the fact that the Knicks and the New York and no one's going to go there. But everyone still goes to those teams because, you know, these guys are making millions of dollars. So, yep. It's inevitability. It's a fact.
It is an inevitability.
So are you thinking Miami? Is that your destination, you know, for like a Justice Winslow, a Goran Dragic and other pieces? James Johnson or something?
This is the thing. If I've...
He's a negative value contract.
That's what I mean. The only reason you trade to Russell Westbrook is to sell tickets and to sell shirts.
Yep.
I don't think he's a good player.
That's why...
I don't think he's a great player.
Yeah.
He's a very good player.
He's. I mean, it's his and John Wall's contracts that are probably two of the worst in the league, as is Chris Paul's as well. But
I've been saying this for years as well. I've never really been a Russell
Westbrook
fan.
I know you haven't been a massive fan, but I think that, you know, Detroit, you know, I'd keep an eye on them because, you know, we love selling tickets, Nicholas. I think that they're in the market of selling tickets, and I think if you put...
I don't think Russell Westbrook fixes that.
I don't think he does either.
They got a new stadium. They got Blake Griffin
and Russell Westbrook. I think that sells tickets. I think it does. Like, I think two top 30-ish, top 20-ish guys in the league.
You could say now that Russell
ship out Reggie Jackson back to OKC, which would be funny. Minnesota, you know, can they get someone to take the? Can they? You know, would you rather have the Andrew Wiggins shitty contract or the Russell Westbrook shitty contract? I'll probably have the Wiggins shitty contract because it's like $15 million a year is less on the cap hit. But both of them are negative value right now.
But Russell Westbrook is an infinitely better player than Wiggins.
And Wiggins will he ever reach that? That's the thing. Russ and Kat would be kind of nice.
Actually, sort of
be kind of nice. I think because like
I don't mind Russ,
like a negative value on the perimeter, whereas Kat is like money from the perimeter. Probably one of the best 3-point shooters as a big man.
This
in
is
the
thing.
League.
Like I think if a Russell Westbrook trade happens,
yeah.
I think it'll be exorbitant. I feel like a team's going to pay through the nose for Russell Westbrook.
It'll be interesting to see how, you know, another team values him and what goes back in return if and when this happens. If this happens in July or if this happens in December, you know, January, just before the trade deadline in February. But we will move on, and we said we would touch on the Lakers. And Nick, the Lakers are the big losers of the offseason. What do you think? Are they losers?
It's astounding for a team who signed Anthony Davis, the second best.
Traded for him. Gave up a lot of...
Yes, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Best power forward? I mean, are you classing Kevin Durant?
It doesn't matter. Like, yeah. We know how great he is. He's an MVP candidate, and I think he might be sneaky MVP chance next season.
Yeah, definitely. It's sort of weird to say that a team that signed a player of that caliber is the loser of the offseason. But I'm gonna get I'm gonna give this one a Twitter fact.
Okay,
so a Wikipedia fact.
Yeah, I think I was gonna
closer
go to
the true side because of. I mean, I'm not a huge hater of the Danny Green contract as you are.
Yep.
I don't know why they signed DeMarcus Cousins.
Do you want me to give you what they spent that cap space on?
Yes, please.
So, firstly,
it's not good.
AD gave up the $4 million trade kicker.
KCP.
So they gave Danny Green essentially $15 million a year, 2 years, $30 million. They gave KCP 2 years, $16 million.
That's too much.
With a no trade clause, apparently. like a trade kicker or some sort. I'm just like, damn, he's getting that clutch money. Good for him.
God damn.
JaVale McGee, 2 years, $8.3 million. DeMarcus Cousins, I think, 1 year, $3.5 million. And Quinn Cook, 2 years, $6 million. So, I mean, I like Cousins and Cook, those signings. But
you
those,
like Cousins?
For like $3 million, it's fine. And, you know, reunite him with, you know, that was fun in New Orleans.
Yeah, but it didn't work,
it didn't. Jack. I know it didn't work, Nick. But they have to spend their money somehow. They had $35 million, and that's how they split it up. They had to spend it. You got to spend the money. It's like you have to hit the salary cap floor. It's like, you know, simple economics. If you don't hit that, then you just pay it into the ethos.
I prefer the JaVale McGee money to the DeMarcus Cousins money.
Interesting. I don't.
Similar amount per year.
Yeah. Slightly more for JaVale.
Yeah, slightly more. $500,000. That's nothing.
Nearly a million.
No, three.
It's 2 years. It's 2 years, 8.3. Okay, yeah. 1 year, 3.5. So about a mil, 800,000.
Plus the you get the extra year of JaVale. So
and he has a player option, I believe, which is dumb.
Yeah.
Why? Like, I don't know if Rob Pelinka knows how to do this shit.
2 years. 2 years is all right. Yeah. Three.
Don't give them a player option.
Yeah, three. Like, I wouldn't be sold on.
What the Knicks did was pretty crappy, but I'm pretty sure it hasn't been reported yet, but it seems to me that all the two-year deals that they did are team options. That gives you that flexibility heading into...
That's why I sort of like what the Knicks have done in the two years.
Yeah.
2 years is a good way
to the Knicks.
To trial and to obviously flip it if it's not working.
Yeah, as a trade asset.
But yeah, the Lakers being the big losers of the offseason. Yeah.
Who's a bigger loser this offseason?
Well, I mean, Washington Wizards... have done appalling.
We will get to them
appalling.
In
Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
Wizards. Like,
look, I don't think that those teams are losers because they were already losers. Sorry. But like,
but you, so were the Lakers. No,
but if you're looking at a team that has a chance.
So how much?
Like chance to be a winner. So like the Lakers for me are that sort of team. The Knicks are a loser because they had a chance to get these
big. Blazers?
The Blazers to an extent.
Yeah, they lost a lot.
They lost a lot, and they got Hassan Whiteside, and you know, how does that sort of fit? We'll touch on the Blazers on future podcasts, but we'll move on. And you know what? I think this is a Brooklyn Bits thing. Woo. Woo, woo, woo. We're going to this famous YouTuber.
Every time.
Love it. Mike Korzemba on Kevin Durant.
It makes absolutely zero sense for Kevin Durant to sign with the Nets because the second star Durant is signing with just so happens to be a ball-dominant point guard by the name of Kyrie Irving. Now, at this point, Kyrie is basically a complete wild card. Sure, he's proven he can be the second best player on a championship team, and he's also proven he could step up in the game's biggest moments. He's also just 27 years old and was just named second team All-NBA this season, so this pairing does look good on paper. However, the real-life version of Kyrie Irving is a lot more complex and unpredictable and still thinks the world is flat, I'm pretty sure.
This take makes no sense from Mr. YouTuber man, Mike Korzemba, who's somehow getting hundreds of thousands of views on this sort of...
Eight hundreds of thousands of views.
No, it's hundreds of thousands means multiple, you jackass. But... The take in him saying, you know, teaming with a ball dominant point guard and Kyrie Irving, you know, it's dumb. It makes no sense. I think it makes absolutely and complete perfect sense. One, you take the non-basketball fit. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are as close a duo in terms of friendship as there are in the league. You know, I just did a bit of a thread on my page, on my Twitter, of Kevin Durant and DeAndre Jordan's friendship. And, you know, the fact that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving were willing to sacrifice money to get DeAndre Jordan on the team just shows how willing they are and how, you know, motivated they are to be on the Brooklyn Nets right now. You know, Kevin Durant taking the number 7, obviously. We spoke about that at the start of the episode. You know, Kyrie Irving is officially a Net now. He's posting some nice, you know, sentimental stuff on his Twitter. You know, he's posted photos with Jay-Z at Roc Nation. You know, the worst decision of his life. Like, I'm sure that Kevin Durant has made some poor decisions, a much more poor decision. He might have chosen to put pineapple on his pizza one night.
Oh, God. It's a travesty, Jack.
That would be the worst decision
of
his life.
It's an absolute travesty.
He chose to get, you know, Pepsi instead of Coke.
I can get around.
Okay.
I can get around.
That's
that
not
one.
As bad. Not as bad.
It's not bad.
But, you know, we're forecasting decisions, obviously, Kevin Durant has probably made. but, you know,
this is an alternative fact.
It is. For the
worst decision of his life. Like, we'll wait and see whether the fit is
and
good, but I can't see why the fit would be bad. I mean, you'd think that Kyrie Irving being a Brooklynite,
yep,
being a Brooklyn Nets fan,
yep,
and being teamed up,
yep,
with a player who he's always wanted to play with,
mm-hmm,
and let's assume that the friendships are compatible,
mm-hmm,
that he's now friends with DeAndre Jordan,
mm-hmm,
three good friends.
Yep, the three best friends that everyone
can have. He's going to love it there.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to see the same Kyrie Irving that we saw at Boston. And I am sure of that.
Okay. See, I think that I spoke about on the Buzz today that I think that there could be some issues with him and Coach Kenny. I think that they could clash because I think Coach Kenny's a little more confrontational than Brad Stevens. But that's one thing I think, you know, we'll chat about obviously quite consistently on JBT and the Buzz. But, you know, I think the basketball fit on the court, you know, the Ringer did a really nice piece on Kevin Durant. The fact that, you know, even if he loses a step in athleticism, he could become a Dirk Nowitzki type following.
He's a 7-footer who can shoot.
Yeah, that doesn't go away.
He doesn't need to beat off people off the dribble.
You do, like, and that's not going to ever go. His height is never going to go. His shooting acumen is never going to go. He might lose a step defensively and whatever, but the pick and roll combinations, the Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant pick and roll was the most unstoppable thing in the league for opposing defenses. You change that and you make it Kyrie Irving, who is obviously not the same level as Steph in a lot of ways, but as a ball handler, as a passer, I think he's better. As a passer, I think he's on par, if not better. As a shooter, I think
he's worse than Steph Curry.
You know, of course, he's worse than the worst shooter, the best shooter of all time. But he is
still good. He's still incredible from 3-point.
I would say he's probably the third best perimeter shooter as a point guard behind Damian Lillard and Stephen Curry. So I think that the possibilities are endless when Kevin Durant is eventually back in a Brooklyn Nets uniform. But Michael Zemba, mate, you got to shut down your YouTube page and give all your subscribers to off the glass, mate, because that is a horrible take, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, I think his...
Pineapple Nick!
I think the basis of his hatred of it has been Kyrie Irving and what he's seen at Boston.
Yeah.
You're not going to get you're not going to get that from Kyrie. If you do, then maybe. But I don't think he's going to be a snivelling
boy. Spencer Dinwiddie is friends with him. And apparently this was almost set in stone in February, according to Bobby Portis, the fact that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving were teaming up. He wouldn't reveal his sources, but, you know, February was around the All-Star break.
He would have gone to Boston with a completely different mindset.
Yeah.
He's left Cleveland because he wanted to be the superstar.
Yeah. He got traded to Boston, by the way.
Sorry, yes. Yeah. He's realized that maybe it's not as easy, or like the approach that he had come into it wasn't the right thing to do. It sort of snowballed from there into something unsustainable.
Yeah.
Let's assume he's now taking a different approach to Boston because it's somewhere he wants to live.
Yep.
He grew up.
Yep.
He supported it. Like, he's got a lot of love for the franchise.
Yep.
He's playing with his mates. Like, everything matters.
And
everything
was...
like that. It matters.
And Kyrie Irving, by the way, was an All-NBA player last season.
Second team All-NBA.
So, but we'll get to a team who, their crosstown rivals, the New York Knicks, and Jay Williams has a few things to say about them.
So, Jay, well, I will ask you, do you believe the Knicks have had a good, bad, or indifferent offseason?
I think they had a good offseason. I think Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving not going to the Knicks was probably the best thing ever to happen to them because it reset expectations. So now, I'm not a fan of setting expectations so high, like Tim just said, to the point where everybody thinks you're going to have this crazy team when you shouldn't set the bar. Them getting R.J. Barrett in the draft, them getting Julius Randle, them getting a lot of players on one-year deals with the team option on the second year, them being able to pull this off. Not going to Kawhi because the chances are you're going to waste time on things with Kawhi because he's not coming to New York. You recognize that because there's no partnership with the Kevin Durant or somebody else.
So the Knicks missing out on KD and Kyrie was the best thing to happen to them. This is denial in its finest.
This is alternative fact. Now, I respect the crux of Jay Williams' take at the end where it's just like being prudent, being patient. Yeah, I get that. And they're sort of showing that to an extent. But missing out on KD was and Kyrie was the best thing for them. God, no. When you have a chance to get, you know, like franchise-altering superstars, you don't get them, that's disappointing. That's bad.
Of course.
And especially when it was hyped up by your owner that they felt so confident about getting them in the first place in March, he puts that out there. If he doesn't put that out there, then I don't think that we have to see, you know, a public statement from Scott Perry and Scott Mills, which was just bewildering to an extent for an organization to do that.
Yep.
But this is an alternative fact for me of the nearly the highest degree. But I agree at the end in the sense that the deals that they did give out aren't horrible, mm-hmm. but I think they could have made some other moves as well. Like, we saw what the Clippers did to take on Mo Harkless and got a first rounder out of it. The Knicks front office aren't similar in the sense of the Clippers and the Nets. And this isn't me just tooting the Nets' own horn, but they're acquiring assets at the same time as taking on like these bad deals. You're going to be a bad team. Get some assets in return. Stockpile your assets with first rounders and second rounders. So when you have, you know, a chance to trade for this star or to lure a star, you've got all these assets because you can now go, bang, I can get Kawhi and Paul George. Whereas the Knicks right now, yeah, they've given some two-year deals that probably aren't the best to some average-ish players, apart from maybe Julius Randle. I just don't understand it. Like, you know, the Knicks are one of the big losers, as I said, of the offseason, and this take from Jay Williams, you know, that he said just at the start is completely off base.
It is. I 100% agree with that one thing. So
yes.
Kevin Durant and you know, them missing out on KD and Kyrie was the best thing.
Horrible,
it's
no.
It's very wrong.
No.
Did the Knicks have a bad offseason? I don't think it was bad. I don't think it was good either.
Give me a grade then, Nick. Is that a C?
C+.
C+, okay.
I'm going to give it a C+. Because they did miss out on some key free agents, no doubt. But they also didn't spend the money on anyone else.
Okay, so
and that's
you're giving them credit
deal.
For not being bad.
Yes, I'm giving them credit that's for like not doing not doing what other teams have done and being frightened of not having a superstar, so throwing a max contract to Julius Randle.
Okay, yeah, all right. They still
that takes props given your owner, given the pressure he's applying, and given that you are in New York.
Yeah, I mean, I get
doing
it.
Doing nothing is really bad for the city of New York, but I think it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I don't think credit should be given to an organization for doing just the average and right things.
Where the bar is set for New York,
yeah,
that's where it should be. That shows progression in the organization.
Well, now the bar needs
making horrible moves.
Well, the bar needs to be set high if they ever want to, you know, be a championship and playoff contender even for that. You know, there might be a sneaky playoff chance in the East. Who knows? But we'll move on to a legitimate playoff contender. And this is via the open court on Facebook. The Utah Jazz will be a top 2 seed in the West next season. Touch on this a little bit, Nick. Where does this take fit for you?
I actually feel like we haven't given the Jazz enough credit for making this, what, the 7th? Take in our podcast.
Yeah.
They've done some incredible moves.
Boy, what was your favorite move from them? Was it the Conley trade? Was it the Bogdanovich signing? What do you think? You know, obviously Ed Davis is a nice backup center.
Shedding Rubio.
Yeah,
was I think the best thing for them
because they were never going to reach offensively the offensive potential.
And even
there.
His defense is starting to wane.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. He's aging a little bit. He got paid a lot by Phoenix as
he's
well.
He's an incredibly creative player, and I love European point guards.
And he is sexy.
He is very. That
so
is true.
Freaking sexy.
You're hurting me, Jack.
Yes, I'm passionate about his sexiness.
He's very sexy, man.
He is.
Mike Conley is better in.
Every way?
Yeah.
Maybe not deep. Defensively, maybe on par, but I think that both of them are pretty good defensively.
Conley has been.
Rubio may be a better passer.
In the shadow of Grizzlies.
Yeah.
He's been forever unsung.
He's been a great postseason performer for them as well. So when they get to the playoffs, they've got a guy who's proven there.
I love the acquisition of Conley.
So do you think they're a top two seed, though? Where does this go on the scale? I'm going Wiki because I'm high. I'm more likely on them being a top two seed than being
You're
like
closer
a five.
To fact. I'm closer to the negative.
So
I'm contemplating giving this one an alternative.
Well, fact. Obviously not going to. This can change quite rapidly, and we'll be doing season preview stuff like we did last year. Where do you have them of this at this point right now? I'd have them
given the showing. I don't think they showed. I mean, people had them top two this season.
Yeah. I think we might have even been placed.
People were super high on the Jazz. They did not start as
and
game.
They weren't
bosses.
High on Denver.
Denver. Donovan Mitchell take. Donovan Mitchell's obviously they expected him to go up.
Yep.
Tenfold.
Yep.
He had a good second half of the season.
Was okay in the playoffs. Not great at
compared
all.
Compared to his first half was not good.
Yeah.
Will he start slow again? I mean, third year player, he very well could.
Where are they finishing though, Nick? That's the question, buddy.
I'm going to give them fourth.
Fourth, okay.
They'll
so who's
home,
your top?
They'll get home court.
Who's your top three?
Clippers. I just was naming. If we're going top down, number one would be Clippers.
Yep.
Oh, with the rest factor. It might be Lakers.
Okay. I'd probably go Denver. I think.
Oh, yeah, Denver. Forgot about them.
You always forget
I
it.
Always forget.
Maybe because your take, they're not making the playoffs.
Maybe it's Denver, Lakers, Clippers, Utah. I'd have to have a deeper dive and look at the roster.
I think I think I'd probably go Denver. We have to say Denver like that.
Denver.
Denver. Denver Jazz. No, Denver Clippers, Jazz, Lakers. That's what I'll put.
So they could squeeze. They could squeeze.
That's why. Like,
team.
It's closer for me to being second. And I think it's going to be an absolute shit show in arms race in the West, as it has been quite consistently. But we'll go over to the East, Nick.
Mm.
The Sixers are too big to succeed next season. Now, you can never be too big, Nicholas, and we know about that.
penis joke.
Ah, yes, they are.
Too big, being...
Bigger is better, Nick.
Being the size of their team.
Yes, they are large men.
Not because they're, like, too big for the city, you know, like...
Oh, they're too big from their boots.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, that could be. Embiid and Simmons are not humble people.
Well, Al Horford is incredibly humble.
That is true. He'll equalize
his humility will bring their humble factor to a bar minimum. Back to an equilibrium.
The humble factor needs to be a stat in 2K.
Well, I think it might be with like the individual player. I don't know. You can you can always choose in the storylines where you can act like a cocky little shithead, or you can just be like, no, I respect my teammates. Like, oh, they really helped me out. So I was like, no, I did everything for them. But Nick, are they too big to succeed? They're obviously a large, large team, you know.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think they're too big to succeed. I love the Kevin O'Connor take, the small ball is a complete myth and never existed. I love it because it's so like what have you been watching for the past like
KOC,
5 years?
KOC.
And I would love to have a conversation with him. He's a very knowledgeable man.
He's incredibly knowledgeable.
So I respect his take for the small ball is a myth. I just find that hilarious.
The Sixers were huge in the playoffs last season. And Danny Green said that the team that gave him the most sort of frights was the Sixers because they couldn't get into their offense because of their size.
It's going to be a matter... Like, Sixers are going to be the new Jazz because there's no shooting on that team anymore.
No. That scares
They're going
me.
To suffocate teams, and it's going to be like 80-70.
Yeah, does that worry you that like you lose JJ Redick and you lose? I mean, Jimmy Butler's not a great shooter, but he can create offense. And you're left with, I mean, Josh Richardson, there's been plenty said about his, you know, three-point shooting and how it is great off the catch and shoot.
Yep.
But they don't really have, like, a traditional point guard either.
What would suck is if they were too big and weren't mobile.
Well, they're incredibly mobile.
They're incredibly mobile. Yeah. They've got, like, three players who can defend three or more positions.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Their switchability... Their defense is going to be incredible. Offensively, there are some significant woes.
That's one thing. You're like, you know, you've got one half of the floor like sewn up. And I mean, 100%, Al Horford's an okay three-point shooter, but it's overblown how good he is.
But do you need three-point shooting, Jackie boy, when you've got Al Horford and like regular season? Simmons can go off in regular season.
See, I think
he'd
do in the regular season, but I don't think he'd do as much in the playoffs.
I don't think it'll work in the playoffs. Defense tightens in the playoffs. And rough and tumble guys. I mean, we saw it with. I mean, Jokic has got a fine touch, but we saw it with Giannis.
Yeah.
Rough and tumble can work.
Yeah, to a point.
You need to be an MVP caliber player.
Essentially.
So I'm not sure that Ben Simmons will thrive in the playoffs.
That's what I think is the crux of it all. What type of Ben Simmons do we see heading into his third season with a contract extension on the cards?
I just want him to either develop a hook shot.
Yep.
Or develop just a mid range.
Yeah.
Just a little mid range.
I think a hook shot because like his finishing around the rim is perplexing at times. You know, he doesn't know what hand he's going with. Mm. You know, in the open court, he's a one man wrecking machine. He's probably the second best player. You know, obviously maybe third up behind LeBron and Giannis, but he's unstoppable. But in the half court, you know, Jared Dudley put it on him.
Yeah, and a fair point from the Duddles.
It is a new Lakers acquisition. We didn't talk about him.
Yeah, we didn't.
But
you watch a Brooklyn-like bench at the Lakers now. There's going to be dancing and stuff.
Nah, we'll be dancing at Brooklyn, baby. Don't worry about that. Theo Pinson's still there. To succeed, there's alternative facts. I think that their lack of shooting, like if they had Karl Anthony Towns, Kristaps Porzingis, all these like insane three-point shooters.
Horford's not bad,
but that's what they don't have.
And Embiid might get better.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily think so. They don't have an elite three-point shooter. We've got Joe Harris.
Not elite, I guess.
You need at least like one elite three-point shooter, I think, on your team to be to have gravity. And I don't think they have enough gravity.
To space. But that's, I guess, what Al Horford's job is going to be.
Yeah.
Al Horford's a big man that can space.
But the attention will be drawn to him more because there's no JJ Redick next to him. Yes, there's Josh Richardson. Tobias Harris, I think, is probably their best three-point shooter.
Not elite.
For me, it's Tobias and Ben Simmons. They're the two keys to success for the Sixers being a championship contender. But a team that's probably on the fringe of championship contention with the moves that they've made this offseason is Indiana. Indiana will improve on their record next season based off their free agency acquisitions, Nicholas. What do you think about Indy? What do you mean about Indy?
I was worried because they sort of left their trades late-ish. Like, and their name wasn't getting thrown around, I felt.
Yeah.
I felt like the Pacers were never the main guy.
See Corey lose his shit live on our free agency pod where they did where they got Malcolm Brogdon instead of Ricky Rubio, which was probably the one of the stronger rumors coming out of Pacerland. But
I love the acquisition of Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah, I think it's great as well.
What's he got against Malcolm Brogdon?
Ricky Rubio. He was incredibly happy to get.
Oh, right.
Can you look up for me while I chat a little bit of their record from last season?
I can.
Thank you. But so you put in Malcolm Brogdon as a replacement for Darren Collison, who retired to focus more on his religion. Good for him. Hopefully he's happy. You add in a Jeremy Lamb, I think on a really nice contract too. But you lose Bojan Bogdanović, who was their best offensive player outside of Victor Oladipo when he wasn't healthy.
Yep.
You lose Thaddeus Young, who was probably their most important versatile defender outside of Miles Turner.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two pretty significant losses.
I'm not sure that the Bogdanović one is as big.
Really?
As
he was their best offensive player.
Because Oladipo was out.
But Oladipo isn't slated to be back until like around January, apparently, with his recovery from the quad. And what is he going to be back?
I'm convinced that a lot of players, given the minutes and the attention that any other superstar will have, can be better than, you get players off the bench who average like 10 points a game. If you now give them the usage that superstars have, they would have 20. They would have 20.
Okay, that's fair.
Averaging 20. I think he's just a product of
circumstance.
I mean, yes, a product of circumstance. That's a good way to put it. I loved him at the Wizards. Obviously, I got a feel for him. I got a feel for him there. He was a great three-point shooter.
We got Jared Allen was because we gave
very
it to him.
Did you?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Because he gave up a first rounder for him. Thomas Bryant, baby. We'll get to the Wizards.
Oh, that's not bad. He can be extremely hot at times,
yep.
But I get a very Joe Ingles vibe from from Bogdanovich.
Is that a bad thing? All in all,
it is when you want Joe Ingles to be your number one option on
the and he's not in Utah offense. At least. And the record from last season for the record was 48-34. I didn't realize it was that high. I thought they were only about 45 or 46. So I'll probably go Twitter fact because I think they can, but I think it's actually unlikely because I think that to get 49 or 50 wins, you know, that's a pretty decent record. And unless Victor Oladipo is healthy for at least three quarters of the season, I don't think that they can get there. But
well, you look at the other teams. The Celtics might be taking a step
similar.
Actually, yeah, good point.
But losing Al Horford, then
losing
their set rotation is bad.
I mean, they've got Semi
and Ennis.
I've got a Semi.
Oh, Nick.
I'm sorry. It was there.
It was.
I had to do it.
You took it.
Sixers may be. Raptors will definitely be. Step
down.
Worse.
Yep.
Bucks, similar. Magic, I expect them to take a little step up.
Maybe. Alfred Kamunu, baby.
Hornets, mate. They're top four. The Heat, obviously, will take jumps.
Yep.
We're going to be dog shit.
Yes, you are.
Bulls. I mean, these lower teams might take a step up. I think the East will be quite even.
Similar, yeah.
But
will they win 49 games? We're putting it out early.
On Twitter fact as well, okay. I reckon they'll be similar.
All right. We will move on from the Indiana Pacers, and we'll move on to... we've got a double Wizards Woes for you, baby. Double, double, double.
The Washington Wizards will make a noise.
I drank some bleach all the way down to the blue, and now I'm starting to feel like Harry Potter.
Ah, God.
Banger!
You're slapping me.
I love slapping you. This is what I can't do when I'm in London or in America or at my own house. I have to do that.
yes, this is the double, 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 double of the Wizards Woes.
It's a wonderful time for Nicholas.
God damn it.
Nick, Washington have the worst starting five in the NBA right now.
As much as you want to think about it.
Yes.
This is an alternative fact.
Okay. So alternative?
We have Bradley Beal,
okay,
mate.
Yeah, that's fine.
And Rui Hachimura.
Did I just ruin it? No, you said it right, though. You said it correctly.
Yeah, but no, as in I just ruined my
You're fine.
And Admiral Schofield.
Don't hate on the Admiral.
Mo Wagner.
Yeah, I like me a bit of Mo. He's German.
Moe.
So who has a worse starting five than you?
I mean, you got Phoenix.
Phoenix have Devin Booker, and they got DeAndre Ayton. So that's two...
Young, yeah, sure.
Two above average
players. Are we going to be the worst team in the NBA?
Okay, so like...
Charlotte?
So we'll go with Charlotte. We'll analyze Charlotte's depth chart. So Charlotte have Terry Rozier, who is apparently a lottery-level player... According to Mitch Kupchak.
Alternative fact. That is very, very wrong. Very
yes,
wrong.
Donnie T. We have Nicholas, according to Senpai Zach on Twitter, Bottom.
Nicholas Bottom. He's really embracing that French culture.
You got Miles Bridges, Marvin Williams, and Cody Zeller. Those are NBA players. That's all I could say. I mean, everyone's an NBA player in the league. But, like, you know what I mean? They've been around the ways, whereas...
What are you saying about Isaiah Thomas, Jonathan Simmons, Mo Wagner, and Thomas Bryant?
Jonathan Simmons has since been cut, so I think, Rui Hachimura is more likely to start. Or Troy Brown.
Or Troy Brown, yeah, Troy Brown. Yeah.
Thomas Bryant had a really nice season for you guys.
Yep.
Isaiah Thomas, I think I said this on The Outlet. I think he's in a nice situation. In Washington, I don't think there's going to be much pressure. I think the spotlight certainly won't be there, except for on JBT where we've got Wizards Woes, baby.
Are we the worst? I don't think we're the worst.
You second or third worst?
Probably. The Knicks have Julius Randle now.
Yeah, I think the Knicks are capable. Let's just look at the NBA list of teams and we'll compare.
I've got them here.
All right, cool. So we'll start. Let's just go with teams that they could be worse than. Cavs?
Cavs. I think we're better than the Cavs.
Okay, so Colin Sexton.
Do I dare look at the depth charts? Yeah, like, it's got to be very outdated.
Give me some Ty Jerome action. Tristan Thompson still playing. Kevin Love? I like Kevin Love.
Nah.
But he's Kevin Love. He's,
no.
He just loving his
we're
name.
We're definitely better than the Cavs. If you're naming those names, then yeah, we're definitely better than
Jordan
than
Clarkson. That. Is he still there? I don't even know. I think he's somewhere else. Chetty Osman, baby! Give me some Chetty action.
Oh, yeah, Chetty.
Return of the Chetty. Tristan
Thompson. This looks updated.
That one's at least updated because they have to update it.
I mean, is it bold?
Yeah, I think you're probably better than Cleveland. Yeah, okay, maybe you're like the third worst. Phoenix.
Are we better than the Suns? Are we better than
the
Suns?
Go back to Phoenix. Show me what Phoenix have got.
Well, obviously they've got Ayton, they've got
Rubio, Booker. Who's their small forward?
Rubio.
Dario Saric, Miles, Mikal Bridges, and Ayton.
That's actually not bad.
I forgot about Saric in that trade as well, because it was like, yeah.
That's actually a pretty decent starting five.
It's an okay starting
five. Rubio, Booker, Saric, Bridges, Ayton. That's not bad.
That's not horrible.
God, it's just making it worse for Wizards.
It's, yeah. So
God,
you're,
damn.
You're probably the second or third worst.
Woo!
I might have to put out a poll for you, mate, and we'll revisit it next week at the start of the show. Who has the worst starting five out of Charlotte, Washington, and Cleveland? But we'll finish off with your boy Dwight Howard, Nick, the possible defensive player of the year according to yourself.
Oh God, you ever got to live that down?
You said that.
I did.
You said that, and you said that they could be the second seed in the East.
I was blinded by fandom.
Yes, you certainly were. The Dwight Howard signing by the Wizards in 2018 was an abject failure.
Is there anything higher than a fact?
What's strong? Like, we need some, like, we'll call it like a Hawking. Stephen Hawking. We'll
so call it much, like a... I had so much faith. I thought he was going to... Like, he seemed so locked in.
He did. Shoot like three. Wanted to be like Anthony Davis.
The stuff he was saying. He was saying all the right things. He bought me hook, line, and sinker.
Did. See his pants in Summer League, by the way?
No.
He looks slick. He had some like flower, like floral type pants. Fuego.
He's got clouds on his shoulders. Like yeah. He's got
he's
the biggest shoulders in the
large,
world.
Large human being.
But yes, this is 100% a fact.
CJ Miles though, baby!
Yeah, we got CJ Miles out of it.
We
man.
Saw
we have,
CJ
we have
Miles.
Made some, we have made some.
You saw what happened with CJ Miles 4 years ago? Was it 4 years ago?
It's 25? Better than Dwight Howard, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think anything. He's probably in your starting small forward right now, CJ Miles.
Ah, yes, yeah. It wasn't in that depth chart.
It wasn't,
yeah.
So,
that's right, yeah.
Too bad for you, Rui Hachimura. Got to step up in the Summer League, baby.
Ooh, are we now better than...
Well, we'll see what the poll says.
With,
I'll put it up.
With
I'll,
CJ Miles?
I'll put it up tomorrow at a time that's convenient for our American listeners. But
yeah, this is 100%. Fact.
How disappointed are you about this, Nick? Because, you thought he was the defensive player... Potential for to get back to his like defensive stardom.
Just, he was so locked in. I mean, yeah, it was. It's very, very disappointing, but not unforeseen.
Okay,
I really shouldn't have been so naive.
Yeah,
and that's on me.
It certainly is. Naivete.
Thank you, Jackie boy.
Yes, sir. So in terms of what was where does the Dwight Howard situation rank for you in terms of everything that surrounds the Wizards' disappointment and the Wizards' woes, so to speak?
Oh wow! Well, if we're putting it
like
on
like John Wall,
if it's all scaled, then like it's not that bad because everything's been bad. So if we're scaling it on like not that bad,
yeah,
is average,
yeah,
and then bad is like it needs to be horrifically bad to be on the bad side.
Yeah,
of
yeah.
I'm hoping I'm making sense.
So what's like horrifically bad? Like John Wall?
John Wall's contract.
Yeah,
sure.
And the injury.
And
not having a GM. Man.
The not having a GM going into
the draft,
free agency in the draft is just.
Tommy Shepard, baby, he's doing okay. He gave some money to TV. Thomas Bryant. I don't mind him. We're shooting this podcast before.
I'm very sad.
Before Nick, eats himself to death with the ice cream. I'll have some ice cream with you though, mate.
Sounds good. We can drown our sorrows. I mean, you can drown my sorrows as well.
I will. I'll have the spoon and I'll feed you. It's amazing how the fortunes have changed. When we started this podcast,
it's been a matter of 3 years.
3 years,
and it's just gone to shit.
It's like literal 180. Where Nick was me, and I'm now Nick.
Absolutely hating life. That just about does it for another week.
Good way to end
of
it.
Just Ball Feeds.
Good way to end it.
So I'd like to say thank you for tuning in. You can catch us on the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. As always, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Blog Talk Radio, wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. Do us a solid, leave a rating and review as well. Helps us out a heap so people can find the show. We can start growing in popularity.
Would like
so
that.
Thank you for doing that for us. Remember, it's you guys that make the show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep balling, superstars.